Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 23, Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the word of prayer before we look at this psalm. Father, we recognize that we live in difficult days. We pray for our world, for the war in Ukraine, that you would cause that to end, Father. For the different trouble spots in the world, we pray especially for your people in Manipur in India, who are suffering persecution just now. Bring peace, we pray. We pray for our land here of Scotland and the United Kingdom, that you would raise up godly leaders who would lead us in paths of righteousness. We pray for your church globally, and also more particularly here in the West and in Scotland and the UK. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still at work in these days. Remember the family of Rita McLaren. Remember the Kerr family just now. May they know your peace and your presence in a wonderful way in these days. And for us now, Lord, as we open your book, we pray that the Holy Spirit who inspired it would make it live for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you a nervous traveler? Are you? When you go on the bus, do you have a little squint at the driver? Make sure that he looks okay. When you board a plane, do you do what I do? You listen to the captain's voice. You try to detect any sense of fear or panic there. I often wonder if pilots, find this out, pilots get trained to sound confident. Do you think so? I think they do, because they all sound the same. Taught to lower their tone. Psalm 23 is a song of confidence. The psalmist is expressing his confidence in Yahweh, the covenant God. And this is what comes through as he reflects upon his experiences. David was a shepherd. He calls Yahweh. One of the great things about going back to Psalms and like this is you see new things every time you go. And David was a shepherd, and he calls Yahweh not just a shepherd, but my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd who leads, cares, protects, and provides. Today, verses 1 to 3 project the everyday care of the divine shepherd. Tomorrow, flocks faced dark valleys and dangers, and so do we. But Yahweh would protect by his rod and guide by his staff. And then into eternity, verses 5 to 6, Yahweh's forever care. And we see wonderfully that in the Old Testament, Yahweh promises in Ezekiel 34 a shepherd who would come and shepherd his people in a full and final way. And in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, we see in John 10, Yahweh incarnate, who calls himself, John 10, the Good Shepherd, who gives life, his life for the sheep, and calls them to follow him, saying, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." Oh, what a good, good shepherd Jesus is. You know, there are moments in life when you realize just how the world has changed. Young people, I kid you not, this morning there was, in the 1980s, a program on BBC television called One Man and His Dog. Does anyone remember it? Is it just me? Is it a figment? Yeah. It was a competition. You hardly credit it now, but it was a competition where shepherds competed in herding sheep into pens. At its peak in the early 1980s, I checked this out on the internet, so it must be right. At its peak in the early 1980s, it attracted audiences in excess of 8 million people in the UK. I think it was on a Friday night. And people would tune in and they would watch sheep being herded. Well, I wasn't normally one of the 8 million, well, at least not often, but we did appreciate, there was a general appreciation of the skill of the shepherd and his dog. But in eastern lands, it's different, isn't it? No sheep dogs. A sheep pen, but no sheep dogs. The sheep learn from their earliest days and from the other sheep to follow the shepherd. And so the shepherd leads the sheep. And as we come to look at this psalm today, here we encounter another prophetic answer in Jesus, the ultimate good shepherd, whose call to all is to follow him. And what a wonderful thing it is when we come to realize that we want to follow him. It's an indication that the Holy Spirit has been at work in us, regenerating us, making us new from within, so that when we hear the call of the shepherd, instinctively, like these eastern sheep, we follow because he's our shepherd. Do you feel like that this morning? Have you heard the call of Christ? Is he yours? Are you following? Well, verses 1 to 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, sheep all look the same to me. Their bleating all sounds the same to me, but not to the shepherd. A good shepherd knows his flock individually. It is a remarkable thing. He's probably been there at their birth. He's seen them grow, develop, and has probably pulled them out of a few ditches as well. David, as a shepherd, would understand this metaphor of the shepherd, God as shepherd, as something very profound and deep. Yahweh as shepherd of Israel is a common description of God in the Old Testament. But a God who has a personal connection with individual sheep. There's just so much significance in the fact that David leads here by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Genesis 48:15, old Jacob, when in Egypt, is reunited with Joseph here of the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And he meets his two grandsons for the first time, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he blesses the boys by putting his hand on their heads, his hands on their heads. And he says to Joseph in the presence of the boys, "The God before whom my fathers Abram and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, bless you." And so in that beautiful intergenerational moment, Jacob confesses his experience of the shepherd care of Yahweh. And those of you who are blessed to be grandparents, what an opportunity you have to speak of the shepherd to the rising generation out of your own experience as a follower of Jesus down through the decades. It's a powerful thing, a powerful ministry that grandparents have. In Psalm 23, David expresses his experience of his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In this, he cites the covenant name Yahweh. Now, that's always significant because it reminds us that our God is the God who binds himself to his people by oath. It's a constant reminder of the depth of the bond between God and his covenant people. Now, for us, Jesus has inaugurated a new covenant by which he has bound his people to himself and sealed that covenant in his own blood. What a thing. And the strength of that bond that we have is not more, certainly no less, than that of David and the shepherd king of Israel. Christ's bond with his people is personal and it is powerful. And it would do you good just to reflect upon that. How wonderful is the shepherd of Israel? Well, David moves on to what this divine shepherd does for his sheep. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd takes the sheep to good grazing. David's divine shepherd finds still waters. Now, I learned something this week that I did not know before. Two things. Shepherds tend not to take their sheep, might seem pretty obvious to you, but it wasn't to me. Shepherds tend not to take their sheep to deep, fast-flowing rivers because they have a tendency as sheep to fall in. When God calls his people sheep, he is not giving us a compliment, all right? Sheep tend to fall into deep water and they have to be dragged out. The other thing is that shepherds, I am told, tend not to take their sheep to fast-flowing waters because sometimes they can choke on the water, it gets into their lungs and results in pneumonia. Isn't that interesting? I'm sure it is, but you're just not showing it. It's okay. But look at the detail in the text. Where does the Lord take his flock? To still waters. That's cool, isn't it? He takes us to still waters. He's interested in the detail of our lives and our experiences. The divine shepherd is interested in that kind of thing. Now, for maybe you've come to church this morning and you're just a bit discombobulated and you don't know which way to go, remember that your shepherd leads you in the detail of your life. Take it to the Lord in prayer. God is interested in our physical needs, but more than that, David says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You know, life can take its toll, can't it? And our thinking can become misshapen. And we can begin to drift. The hymn writer says, perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Is that your story? It's certainly been my story. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We are sheep. Now, the writer of that first hymn that I quoted there conflates Psalm 23 with Luke 15, in which we find the parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15, verse 3, so he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, says Jesus, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You see the value that Yahweh places upon the individual sheep? The value that our Lord Jesus Christ places upon an individual repenter? David says, he restores my soul. Do you need your soul restored this morning? Are you like, oh, what's life doing to me? Do you need to have some time apart by the still waters for your soul to be restored? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. For his namesake. What does that mean? Well, you see, because Yahweh is the covenant God, Yahweh, I am that I am. And because he has bound himself to David, then his name is bound up with the life of his servant David. He does all this, not just for David's sake, but for his own sake, having bound himself in covenant to David. That's why the words of Jesus are so powerful when he says he never loses one of the flock. Because if he did, he would have more to lose than we would. What it is to know the security of belonging to this good shepherd. And then secondly, verse 4, the blessings of today, the blessings of tomorrow, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David here is probably tracking back to the days when he felt the responsibility of leading his father's flock in dangerous terrain. Down in the south of Israel, there is what is called the Negev. And part of the Negev is ravines carved out in the rock, dark places in the nighttime, shadowy places, scary places down there in the wadi. The cliffs can be terrifying. Then, of course, there would be the threat of predators and brigands threatening the flock. So when David is writing this psalm, he's thinking about that. He's thinking about his experiences of being perhaps in the Negev or some terrain like it where he felt the threat of predators and brigands threatening the flock. It was the valley of death. David had also faced many dangers in his path to kingship, not least from his erstwhile father-in-law Saul. But he had learned a principle in the field serving his father's flocks that he applies in this psalm. It is, in whatever circumstance, we know that he is with us. God never at any point abandons his flock, nor his individual sheep. Maybe you're feeling this morning a little out of it, perhaps a little lonely. God is with you if you are his. And so what emanates in Psalm 23 is the confidence David has in the divine shepherd. And when David begins to reflect upon dark experiences and dangerous days, his language becomes even more personal. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I'm sure you, like me, have had the experience of going through a very, very difficult time, but you've found in it that the Lord has drawn you closer. That's what God does. And it seems, as David was reflecting on this psalm, that that's what he had experienced. So you have that reverence for God alongside this personal confidence in God. Then there is the rod of God as an instrument of defense. God defends his people. The shepherd would not be backward in coming forward and walloping a wolf. And the staff as the instrument of rescue and direction, hauling the errant sheep out of some ditch somewhere. The importance of God's presence and ministry to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says Hebrews 13, verse 5. And the point of Hebrews 13, 5 to 6 is that the Lord will provide all that we need for a life founded on faith. Of course, plenty of faithful believers have experienced all kinds of problems in their lives. And many have even died from exposure, thirst, hunger, disease, or worse. Yet they died that way through faith, not for a lack of it. They trusted God in the dark valley and through the dark days. The soul that in Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. The blessings of today, the blessings of tomorrow, and then ultimately into eternity. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, at this point, the shepherd metaphor fades, and the imagery is of David as a blessed guest. Now, if you're with a good friend, like, you can really enjoy beans on toast, can't you? Because you're with your pal. That's fine. It's the fellowship that matters. But oh, what it is when someone lays on a feast for us. It's wonderful. This is a feast prepared for David by the Lord. Let that sink in. This is a feast prepared for David by the Lord. And that anointing of oil that he mentions there is a sign of the honoring of his servant. It is also a sign of the overflowing blessing of God in the cup that overflows. My cup overflows, he says, it's brimming over. This is the sense of the honoring of the servant of God by the God who has bound himself in covenant to David. And it's in the presence of his enemies. I'd never really reflected on that before this week. It's in the presence of his enemies. You see, this is a victory feast. This is David victorious because of the work of God in him and through him, bringing him to the very presence of the Lord. In ancient times, defeated foes were often brought into the victory banquet and made to watch the others celebrating. And there were many in David's life who sought to bring him down, but he was, for all his faults, God's man in that line that would lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the enemies of God were out to get him and bring him down. But God had sustained him and caused him to know his victory over his enemies. And so we are told there, you prepare a table before me in the presence, even in the presence of my enemies, made to watch the laden table and the wine overflowing. David overcomes and his enemies are made to see it. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, he says. and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherding metaphor ends, for the experience of the believer will be something much more wonderful than simply survival. Much more wonderful. 1 Corinthians 9, no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And so it means that in whatever circumstances we find ourselves today, we can look forward in hope to what God has prepared for us. Now, all of this talk of food is probably making you feel hungry. But the primary focus as the psalm comes to its conclusion is more wonderful than food. It is the presence of the Lord. See, that's where this psalm lands. It is the presence of the Lord. When ancient Hebrews thought about the presence of the Lord, they would think about either the tabernacle in the desert or the temple in Jerusalem, where God had ordained that he would presence himself in a unique way. And so it's no surprise that David uses this terminology here of the house of the Lord, because that's where that mediated presence of God is. And it's a reminder to us that the greatest prize that God gives his people is not a fantastic meal. It is himself. He gives us what is absolute and ultimate. He brings us into his banqueting table, and his banner over us is love. His love for us. You feel unloved today? If you belong to Jesus, you are loved with an eternal love. How marvelous is that? He gives his people himself. How wonderful. Today, the blessings we enjoy. Tomorrow, in dark valleys and danger, he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And into eternity, Yahweh's forever care. You know, there is a book in the Bible that's a really difficult book to understand, at least for me. It's the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of Israel's or Judah's exile in Babylon. And there are many strange visions that God gives to Ezekiel, but they are wonderful. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 15, you can look it up. Ezekiel 34, verse 15. The Lord says that to those in exile, he says that the Lord will come and be your shepherd. And if you're looking at Ezekiel 34, verse 15, go down to verse 23. Because there's something that seems to contradict that. God has said, I will be their shepherd. And then later on, in verse 23, it says, David, a David figure will be their shepherd. Well, who is it? Is it God? Or is it human shepherding going on here? How can God say that he will shepherd his people Israel and that the shepherd will be David? Well, of course, when we come to the New Testament, we see that the answer, as it always is, it's Jesus. God made flesh of the line of David. The Word made flesh. David's shepherd in the desert is Yahweh. Yahweh becomes flesh and walks the dry, dusty roads of our earth in order to go to the cross that he might win our salvation. And so the mystery is solved. Jesus, who being God and man, Yahweh from eternity and in his flesh of the line of David. It's one of those parts of the Bible that makes you glad you're a Christian, because you can see how it all coheres in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 23, David leans into the pastoral care of Yahweh. And this seems to me to be a healthy and sensible thing to do. Is this what we need to do today? Is it a high day for you or a hard day? Well, in both, good theology matters. And Psalm 23 is rich in pastoral theology that we rest in the goodness of God. Very often when I'm feeling down, I read John 10. It's probably my favorite passage in the whole of the New Testament. And in that passage, as I told you at the beginning, God says something really significant. All his words are significant, but this has really landed with me over the years. He says, I am the good shepherd. And when he says that, he's saying a lot. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He's talking about the cross that lies ahead for him. Here is the sacrificial shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. Here's the one promised through Ezekiel to those in exile from Judah, but more to those in exile from the Lord. Because Jesus widened the circle beyond Judah and Israel in his ministry in John 10 when he said, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd, sheep for whom he gives his life, but also calls to follow him. My sheep, said Jesus, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What a thing it is to be enabled to say that we are part of the flock of this shepherd, Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful song. Thank you that this song runs through the experience of David and of us. How blessed we are to know this good shepherd. Amen.